Shabbat Shalom, and Shabbat Shalom for all those who are watching with us today. I have a message today called Seeing Yahweh's Providence Compared to Satan's Hindrance. And of course, providence meaning direction. Seeing Yahweh's Providence Compared to Satan's Hindrance. I want to start in Jeremiah 1:5. And Jeremiah 1:5 says, I knew you before I formed you in the belly, and before you came out of the womb, I sanctified you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. So here it is, Yahweh saying, I knew you before I formed you in the belly, and before you came out of the womb. And I think sometimes in the world we live in that people tend to lose the fact that before we were even born, before we were even, you know, out of the birth canal, that Yahweh predestined us for the calling that we have today. Psalm 22, 9 and 10 says something similar. For you are he who took me out of the womb, causing me to trust on my mother's breasts. I was cast on you from the womb, from my mother's belly. You are my El. So when we look at that concept of even before being born, of in the womb, from the time of conception, that Yahweh literally formed us, he knew us, created us who we are, it even makes abortion even more evil than you can think of. Because, of course, you know, when you have 60, 70 billion people that have been born in this world, and everyone has been born the same way, except for Adam and Eve, of course, and Yeshua, that the sperm and the egg come together and fertilize, and 9 months later a baby is born. So to say that life doesn't start at conception is utterly ridiculous. But this message is focused more on us understanding particularly how Yahweh formed us and for the purpose that he formed us for. And that's why I said seeing Yahweh's providence, Yahweh's direction compared to Satan's hindrance, because in our life, we're going to see that both of these come into play, but we have to know how to tell the difference. And I even remember, even before Mariah was born, that Yahweh actually showed me in a dream what she would look like. So he knew before she was born exactly what she would look like, and I saw her as a little girl, what she looked like beforehand. And again, we didn't know if it was going to be a boy or a girl, but Yahweh knew it. So we knew at that point when he showed us that. Ephesians the first chapter, in verse 3 through 5. Because I want to show you that Yahweh, not only did he form us in our mother's womb, not only did he know us before we were born, not only did he predestine us from, you know, that time, but there was more to the purpose than we even know. So Ephesians 1, 3 through 5. Says, blessed is the Elohim and Father of our Master Yeshua Messiah, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heaven through Messiah, even as he elected us in him. He chose us, right? He elected us. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world for us to be holy, set apart, and without blemish before him in love. And he marked us with his love to be his from the beginning, and adopted us to be sons through Yeshua Messiah according to how it pleased his will. So wow, now we see even before he created the world that he had us predestined, that we were going to be part of his work, that we were going to be part of his family. So I think sometimes in the world we live in that people lose that fact, that they get, sometimes you can get caught up in your situation in life or what's happening, and we lose the fact that from the beginning of the world, Yahweh predestined us in our calling that we have today. Drop down to verse 9 there in Ephesians 1. It says, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, as a stewardship of the fullness of the times, that all things might be made new, both in the heavens and the things in the earth, through Messiah, by whom we have been chosen as he marked us from the beginning, right? Many are called, few are chosen. And the ones that have been immersed into the name of Yeshua, Yahweh, the family name, and have the Holy Spirit living in them. They had hands laid on by an elder of Yahweh. You are a child of his. You have been chosen, right? Whom he has been chosen as he marked us from the beginning. So he wanted to carry out everything according to the good judgment of his will, that we should become the first to trust the Messiah in his honor and glory. So what's going to happen? We're almost at the end of 6,000 years, right? And what's going to happen after these 6,000 years are up? Yeshua is going to return. We're going to have the 1,000-year millennial reign. And then what happens after that? We don't know. We know eternity is a long time. And there's billions of planets out there. Is Yahweh going to do the same plan in other planets? Is he going to send us to planets, you know, to oversee those things? Nobody knows. But we do know one thing, that throughout all eternity, Yeshua is going to be given glory and honor as the Son of Yahweh and the doorway to salvation. And we have become the first to trust in him in his honor and glory. So that's why we are the first fruits. Not only the first fruits in this particular plan of salvation, right? In this 7,000-year plan. But we are the first fruits for eternity. Whatever Yahweh is going to do from here, we will always have that glory of being the first ones who trusted in Yeshua and given him the honor and the glory that he deserves. So we are chosen personally by Yahweh for his work. And remember, he could have chosen others. So think about it. Every single day, each of us get 24 hours. Like I said, if your name is Donald Trump or your name is Donald Esposito, it doesn't make any difference. Maybe $9 billion in between. But the difference, where it makes no difference, is that each person has 24 hours. So, you know, President Trump doesn't have any more time than I do with all the billions of dollars that he has. Money can't buy you time, right? Money can't buy you time. So what are you doing with your time? Are you fulfilling this glorious calling that Yahweh is giving you? Are you living every day to that? Do you have a ministry? Do you have a plan of action in ministry? Or are you just wasting time? Because like I said, many are called, few are chosen. And one thing is, even though Yahweh predestined us, we do know you can lose your salvation. You know, it isn't once called, once saved, always saved. Because you have to fulfill it. You have to do something now. You have to fulfill the glory he's giving you. And I think that by seeing Yahweh's providence compared to Satan's hindrance, I think that one of the reasons people are not fulfilling this great calling is they're not seeing the difference of those two. And that's what we're going to go over here today, right? So, like I said, he could have called other people, and we have to meditate on this, and it really has to be the highest priority in our life. It's not just a saying, it's not just a slogan, it's not just a catchphrase. But if it's not the highest priority in your life, you will be replaced. I can guarantee you that. You know why? Because the Bible tells us 100% surety in the kingdom, it's going to be the highest priority of everyone. It will be the highest priority of everyone. Somebody wrote me recently and they said, oh, they thought in the kingdom that every knee was going to be forced to bow to Yeshua. But then they saw a scripture recently that said that every knee should bow. And they were asking me the difference. And I said, no. Yahweh gives us free will. So Yahweh will not force people to worship him. But you know what? I can guarantee you that every knee in the kingdom will bow, because only people that will have that heart to bow to him will be in the kingdom. And you know what? Everyone with stubborn knees that won't bend them, you know where they're going to be? They're going to be in the lake of fire. They won't be in the kingdom. So what we're going through now in this modern dispensation, right, since the Garden of Eden, with Adam and Eve started, and we've continued all the way through, it's going to be nothing like when the kingdom comes. It's going to be completely different, because in the kingdom, we're now, true believers are like 1,000th of 1% of people in the world. 99.9% of people aren't true believers. In the kingdom, it's the opposite. And not just 99.9, it's 100%. In the kingdom, 100% of the people there will be people that love Yahweh, that don't have to be told to enforce to read your Bible and pray every day. And, you know, they are people that can't wait to do that. They are people that want to do that. They're people that have chosen by their own free will. And each one of you that has been baptized and has the Ruach HaKodesh of Yahweh, you've been chosen. You're not just called, you're chosen. But now will you be faithful, right? Like the message I gave, called, chosen, faithful. Now it's up to you because you have free will. So let's continue here now. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "But we ought to thank Yahweh always concerning you, brothers, beloved by Yahweh, because Yahweh chose you from the beginning to salvation and sanctification of the Spirit and through a true faith," right? Yahweh chose you to the beginning to the salvation and sanctification of the Spirit and through a true faith. So again, many are called, few are chosen, and Yahweh has chosen us. What are you doing with this calling? You know, that's what I've been doing. I've been blessed by Yahweh to administer the Bible school for about 18 years now. And that's basically what the whole Bible school is about. It's about helping you to understand the great calling you have and helping you to understand the gifts of the Ruach HaKodesh that Yahweh is giving you and utilize them in your life. That's it. There's no magic pill. You've got to do it. But you have to have goals. You have to write things down. You have to have that as your greatest focus that's in your life. So this is the whole purpose of our existence, right? And we're going to see that Satan will do other things in our life to bring other things to get our focus away from this. But this is the whole purpose of our existence, to help Yahweh bring mankind back to Eden, right? Because when Genesis started, right, the whole Bible, and I've said this before in sermons, you know, that sometimes I'll ask people, how many parts is the Bible broken down into? In one way, it's a little bit of a riddle. And they say two. And I say, yeah, you're correct. What are they? Well, the Old Testament and New Testament. No, it's Genesis 1 and 2, and then the rest of the Bible. Because in Genesis 1 and 2, Yahweh and Adam and Eve, they're in Eden. And after Eden, everything is different. In Eden, everything was perfect. Everything was in the will of Yahweh. And from mankind choosing the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? And when mankind decides what is good and what is evil, in the end, it's going to be mostly evil and very little good that's left there. What happens from that point is what we have today. So we are living in a world that is mostly evil with very little good, because that's mankind's choice. But in the kingdom, it's going to be 100% the opposite way, right? So this is what our job is. Our job is to help Yahweh call out his chosen people and bring them back into Eden. John 15 and verse 15. And that's where your heart should be. That's where our heart should be every single day we exist, every single day that we're alive, should be to be thanking Yahweh, praying to Yahweh, studying his word, and thinking how we can be better servants in doing this. Yahweh has a worldwide ministry in the end time. So it's not even just an individual thing that you have to figure out on your own how to do some kind of worldwide work. No, he already has that worldwide work. And that's what the restoration ministry is about. It's about taking what Yahweh had in the Garden of Eden in Jerusalem, going back almost 6,000 years ago, and restoring it. Restoring the original congregation, restoring the original faith, restoring the original doctrine. And praise Yahweh, I've been blessed to be part of this ministry. I've been a believer for close to 40 years, you know, going on at 37, maybe 38. But praise Yahweh, for 25 years, I've been part of the restoration ministry from Jerusalem. And that's where everything started, and that's where everything is going to end. And now we're getting close to that. Why? Because now Yahweh has brought his people to the wilderness, and the wilderness is the last stop before you get back to the promised land. So we are getting close there. So this message is extremely important, because if your priorities are not straight, and we're going to see here how to tell the difference of that, you're going to be in trouble. So John 15 and verse 15. John 15 and verse 15, he says, "I no longer call you slaves, for the slave does not know what the master does. But I call you friends, because all things I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You have not chosen me, but I chose you and planted you," right? So we may have chose to accept the calling, but Yahweh and Yeshua chose us. And like I said, there's 8 billion people in the world out there today, and he could have chosen anybody. 8 billion is a big number out there. And yet he chose you. He chose you particularly, right? For whatever reason. But are you fulfilling this great calling? "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and planted you, that you should go and bear fruit, and your fruit should remain, and whatever you should ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. And we're seeing that now. We've turned a page with COVID. And you are a fool if you think that COVID's over and everything's going back to normal. No way. COVID was planned. It was tested. And now, who knows? Who knows when the next phase is coming? It could be a matter of months, or maybe it might even be a couple of years. Who knows? But one thing is sure, they did not come this far to just end it. Because in their mind, COVID was very successful. And they started the QR codes and all the other things. And because we weren't part of that, we're not part of this beast system, the world hates us. They hate us because we're not part of that. But did you refrain from it? Are you part of the world system? Do you work in the world? Is all your things of pleasure in the world, or your friends in the world? Is everything you do worldly things and worldly desires, right? Because at the end of the day, you know what? Your priorities are what you get done. And either we could say now, what is your priority? Is Yahweh your priority, or is the world your priority? And every believer would say, oh, no, Yahweh's my priority. And then let's look what you're doing 24 hours a day, right? Because like I said, everybody has the same 24 hours, no matter whether you're rich or poor. And if you aren't putting any time for Yahweh, he's not your priority. And you know what? If he's not your priority, you're not going to be in his kingdom. Because his kingdom is the priority. His kingdom is what's being done now. His kingdom is what's being restored. And you've been chosen and blessed to be part of that. And what are you doing with it in your life, right? If you were the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, and I chose you out of the world, because as the world hates you. And the more the world hates you, the more you know that you're serving Yahweh. The more the world loves you, and the more that you don't have any problems in the world and no problems at work and everything else, what is that telling you? It's telling you that you can't be serving Yahweh too much if the world doesn't hate you. Jacob 1 and verse 1. And what does that mean? It means we're going to go through trials. Of course we are. Because trials are for our purification. The trials are the thing, the baptism of fire. That's what these trials are. And that's the thing that's purifying our soul to get us ready for day one to serve Yahweh when the millennial starts. When Yeshua returns, it's not going to be, okay, we're going to take the first 100 years and we're going to train all the people. No, this is the training. This is the training now, what we're doing. And if you don't get yourself trained and you're not ready to work on day one, like I said, you're not going to be there. Jacob, a slave of Elohim and of the Master Yeshua Messiah, to the 12 tribes in the diaspora among the nations. Greeting, right? So what's part of the restoration ministry? The restoration of Ephraim, the restoration of the tribes of Israel. That's a major part of it. It's a major part of this ministry. It's a major part of the book I wrote, you know, The Chosen People. This is Book of Jacob, chapter 1 and verse 1. Then verse 2. My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the proving of your faith works patience, right? That's what we need to get. We need to get patience. But let patience have its perfective work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So these trials are purifying our soul. We're going through the baptism of fire, and it's teaching us to wait on Yahweh patiently and not to take things into our own hands. Like when you see in the Bible, people like King Saul, right? Where things weren't going his way, the battle was against him, he's waiting for Samuel, and what does he do? He doesn't have patience, and he goes and he sacrifices an animal when he's from the tribe of Benjamin. He's not a priest. And what happens? Samuel shows up right after he does that. The way it happens many times. When we don't show patience and we don't wait for Yahweh, and as soon as we do it our own way, what happens? Then he shows his will right after that, because we failed the test in that case, right? But let patience have its perfected work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask from Elohim, who gives all freely with his grace, and it will be given to him. So we need to be asking Yahweh, praying him. Do we ask him for the fruits of his spirit? Do we ask him for wisdom of discernment? Do we ask him for these things? Or are we only asking him for worldly things, as we're going to see later? But let him ask in faith, doubting nothing. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea being driven by the wind and being tossed. For do not let that man suppose he will receive anything from the Almighty. He is a double-souled man, not dependable in all his ways, right? So, Why is it, you know, when we're looking at Yahweh's providence, Yahweh's direction compared to Satan's hindrance, why is Satan allowed to hinder us? For a benefit, so that we learn the difference between Yahweh's direction and Satan's hindrance. But why is it that sometimes people don't know the difference? Because they're too worldly. Like I said, because their desires are not the desires of Yahweh and His Word. Their desires are the things of the world. If you go to chapter 4, same book, look what it says. Verse 1. From where come conflict and fightings from among you? Is it not from your lusts warring in your members? Right? I say one of the greatest characteristics of an ambassador of Yahweh is being a peacemaker. And why is it that there's conflicts and fightings? Because of lust. Because of people wanting their own way. Because of people's desires not being the desires of the kingdom of Yahweh, but being their own worldly desires. You covet and you don't have, right? So that's exactly what coveting is. It's wanting things that Yahweh hasn't blessed you with. But you coveting you don't have. You murder, right? Meaningly, you're angry at your brother. And you're jealous, right? Shocking, but I find it. Even in the congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem, I see jealousy many times. Not many times, but sometimes, let's say. And you're not able to possess. You fight, you strive, and you have nothing because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive. Why? Because you do not ask sincerely. You ask in order that you may satisfy your lust, right? So just think about it. What is your prayers with? Some people don't have any prayers. They're not praying for anything. It's a 10-second prayer before they're falling asleep on their bed, or just a prayer before the meal. Thank you, Father, for the meal. But why are people not receiving? Because they're asking, all the things they're asking are things for their lust. You know, Father, my job, Father, my car, Father, my this, Father, my rent, Father, my that. And how much are your prayers or toward, Father, your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Father, bring your kingdom, right? Like it says in the Master's Prayer, when they ask Yeshua, how do we pray? And what did he say? You glorify the name of Yahweh, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So are your prayers around the kingdom of Yahweh, or are they around your own lustful desires? You ask in order that you may satisfy your lust. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship of the world is enmity, it's hatred with Elohim, right? So this is where, again, Yahweh's providence compared to Satan's hindrance. If your desires and your heart are with all the things of the world, then you will never follow Yahweh's providence. And Satan will hinder you in your life, and the sad part is you won't even know it. Do you not know the friendship of the world is hatred with Elohim? Whoever then purposes to be a friend of the world is an enemy to Elohim. And boy, if you can't see that now, if you can't see it now, because the world, like I said, there is the line in the sand. There is that dividing mark since COVID came. And we see it now. We see who are part of the world and who are not, because they made it where you had to make a choice for work. And unfortunately, many people chose to take a death shot with a aborted fetal tissue just not to lose a job. Can you imagine? But whoever purposes to be a friend of the world is an enemy to Elohim. Or do you think that vainly the scripture says the pride dwelling in us lust to envy, but he gives greater grace because of it. Yahweh sets himself against proud one and gives grace to humble ones. So this is what it's about. If you're going to understand this message today, and you're going to change your life, because this could be a life-changing message to you, then you got to humble yourself. You got to realize where the problem is. You have to repent to Yahweh, and you're going to have to come out of the world. You're going to have to separate from the world, because, like I said, one of the big problems, and this is what Yahweh's Spirit, I believe, inspired me to put this message together, is because people can't see the difference between Yahweh's direction and Satan's hindrance. They just don't see it. And as we're going to see, we need to see it. Trials, challenges only strengthen our faith if our priority is right. You know, and the world is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So not everything in the world is evil, but a lot of it is. You know, like the internet, right? And I talk to people all the time. Sometimes people say to me, well, if it wasn't for the internet, we couldn't watch your sermons. And I say, yep, that's great. But my question is, how much of the internet is good and how much is evil? So it's not all evil. Maybe 10% is good, right? A tithe. And 90% is evil. So how much time do you want to be on something that is 90% evil? So again, you know, these are things we have to look at. And again, we have to look at our priorities. In Romans 8:28, talk about the scripture a lot, right? But we know that to the ones loving Yahweh, all things work together for good, those being called according to purpose. So when you understand this, when you understand that you're not just called, but you're chosen, when you understand that Yahweh has called you from your mother's womb, that Yahweh has called you from before you even came out of the birth canal, that he called you from, even before that, he called you from eternity, that thousands of years before you were even born, that Yahweh knew when you were going to be born. He knew how you were going to look. He knew everything about you. And he knew that he was calling you to this end time work. And like I say, if you understand that, then all the trials we go through, we understand it's only for our purification. It's only the baptism of fire, which we need to make it into his kingdom. But the key is knowing if a challenge is put by Elohim for our growth or Satan for our hindrance. I'm going to say that again because it's an important point. The key is knowing if a challenge in your life, a challenge or a trial, is put by Elohim for our growth or Satan for our hindrance. So this is where it's going to now, you know, the rubber hits the road. And you got to listen very carefully because this is the difference between maybe getting eternal life or maybe being deceived outside the kingdom. Because remember, Yeshua said the very first thing he said when he talked in the Olivet prophecy, Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, the very first thing he warned about was deception. And there has never, ever been more deception in the world than we have today. Wow. You know, President Trump coined the term fake news, you know, when he was running for presidency. And, you know, we haven't seen nothing. Never mind fake news. Of course, news is fake, most of it. You know, the regular media, about 99% of it. But there is so much deception everywhere you look. And deception doesn't always come the way you think. Remember, Satan comes as an angel of light. So it's not always in a trial. It's not always in something bad happening, as we're going to see. It can be in many things. But let me just show you in Scripture that this happens. We see that Yahweh can hinder us. You know, in Scripture, we see that Satan can hinder us. And we have to be able to know the difference. Acts 16 in verse 6 and 7. And this is when Paul is going on his missionary journey, right? And what happens? He's going to an area that Yahweh doesn't want him to go in. Let's listen. And passing through the Phrygian and Galatian country, being forbidden by the Ruach HaKodesh to speak the word in Asia, coming against Mysia, they attempted to go along Bithynia, right? Bithynia is one of the places that Jacob is writing to the 12 tribes of Israel. And that wasn't Paul's ministry. Paul's ministry, yes, when he went to Great Britain later, he was also going to go to the tribes, but primarily he was going to be the apostle to the nations, right? So this was the area where the other apostles that were with Yeshua were going to. So coming against Mysia and attempting to go to Bithynia, and the spirit of Yeshua did not allow them. The spirit of Yeshua did not allow them. So Elohim blocked Paul from going to a place that was set apart by the other apostles. And sometimes people want to know, well, how do you know? How do you know if something is Yahweh's will? And I say very simple. What you do is, number one, you pray. And a lot of times Yahweh can show you in his word or he can show you in your spirit. But the other thing is you have to exhaust every avenue. I know when I feel convicted of something that it's the will of Yahweh and I do it and there's a stumbling block there. What I do is to make sure, because I don't want any doubt in my life. Doubt is the killer. Doubt is the cancer. You can't have any doubt in your life, especially now, because Satan will use doubt to destroy your faith, because it's the opposite of faith. It's the cancer to faith. So what I do is I extend every avenue, and if every door is closed, then I know it's Yahweh's will that it's not to be done. But you have to do that. You can't, after the first obstacle, just stop, because it could be like Jacob. Yahweh can be putting an obstacle before you to try your faith, to see how important it is for you, right? And you have to then exhaust every avenue. And after you exhaust every avenue, then you say, okay, Yahweh, I know it. You know, I know this is not your will. I got to go in a different avenue. So this is where we have to see the difference of Yahweh's direction, Yahweh's providence compared to Satan's hindrance. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. Now we'll see a situation where it wasn't Yahweh that was hindering, but it was Satan. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14, and this is again the Apostle Paul. He says, "For brothers, you became imitators of the congregations of Yahweh, being in Judea in Messiah Yeshua, because you also suffered these things by your own fellow countrymen, as they did also by the Jews, who both killed the master Yeshua and their own prophets, also having driven us out, and not pleasing Elohim, and being contrary to all men." So they're going through these different trials, right? "Forbidding us from speaking to the nations in order that they may be saved, adding this to their sins always. But the wrath of Elohim has come on them to the fullest. But brethren, we have been deprived of your affection for a little while, yet only in presence and not in heart. We were much more eager with much love to see your faces. Because of this, we desire to come to you. Truly, I, Paul, both once and twice, but Satan hindered us." Satan hindered us. So what happens here? Did Paul eventually get to them? Yes, he did, right? Because that's why I said, sometimes when you're being hindered, you don't know if it's Yahweh stopping you or if it's Satan hindering you, and you have to keep trying. You don't stop after one thing. You don't exhaust one door and then say, "Oh, no, I tried. It's not Yahweh's will." No, you have to try every avenue before you can literally say that something is not the will of Yahweh. And this is here. They were stopped twice. They were hindered by Satan. And then after that, the door was open. So it's timing also. There's reasons why sometimes Yahweh doesn't open a door to certain timing. His timing is perfect. But if we're following his providence, if we're following his direction, then it's never going to be a question. Because you just follow that road wherever it goes, no matter how winding it gets. And there's never a question to it because it's the faith in him. It's the trusting, the Romans 8:28, that in the end, it's all going to work out for the good, that you never have doubt. There's never doubt there. The only time doubt is going to come is when you're following your own heart, because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it, right? So let's look at Daniel 10. Daniel 10 and verse 8. Because we see over here also where even Yeshua, who was the being that's over here with Michael the archangel, who was also had problems with Satan at this point. Daniel 10 and verse 8. It says, "Then I was left alone," Daniel's talking, "and I saw the great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for the glory was turned within me into corruption, and I kept no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and when I heard the sound of his words, then I was on my face stunned, and my face was toward the ground." Why? Because he was seeing Yeshua. "And behold, a hand touched me and set me shaking on my knees and the palms of my hands. And he said to me, 'O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words I speak to you and stand up. For I am now sent to you.' And when he had spoken this to me," Aleph Tav, the word. So who's speaking to him? The Aleph Tav, Yeshua, the word of Yahweh. "I stood trembling. And he said to me, 'Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your Elohim, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. But the king of the kingdom of Persia withstood me." Who is that? This is either Satan or a demonic being, right? "The king of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, 3/7. But lo, Michael, one of the chief, the first rulers, came to help me, and I stayed there with the kings of Persia." So even Satan was able at this point to hinder Yeshua temporarily. So we see that it's a reality of life. There's no doubt that Satan can hinder us, but we have to make sure we understand the difference. Is it Yahweh's providence, Yahweh's direction, or is it Satan's hindrance? Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our conflict is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, with those in authority, and with the possessors of this dark world, and with the evil spirits that are beneath heaven." So this is another thing that's important to understand, because sometimes I think in the flesh, we tend to think that our problems are with human beings, right? Our problems are with the bad landlord. Our problems are with a boss who hates us because we're a believer. You know, our problems are with our neighbor who doesn't like us, you know, for whatever reason. Or it could be any reason. Our problem is with the government that's against us because we're believers. Or our problems are with the world leaders like Klaus Schwab and these people, you know, who are running the World Economic Forum. But in reality, that's not what our problem is with. Our problem is with, and our conflict is with, not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, those in authority, and with the possessors of this dark world, and the evil spirits that are beneath heaven. So everything is spiritual. We have to understand that. And this is why you have to put on the armor of Yahweh. This is why you can't try to fight this battle yourself. You can't put it in a fleshly way. And you can't get upset. You got to learn patience from it. And you have to follow Yahweh's providence. Because like I said, his direction, his timing is bringing us toward that road to the kingdom. And each of us has a different road that we're walking on. But in the end, we're all going to get there. Right? So we have to realize our fight is a spiritual one. And Satan will use weak-minded people in this world to help him hinder the work of Yahweh. It's just that simple. Why sometimes were people treat you good? And we've had it for this 25 years of our ministry from Israel, that just people that have blessed us over and over because Yahweh put that in the bless. But we also had people that hated us because of the ministry that we're doing. So we have to understand this, that Satan will use weak-minded people to help him to hinder the work of Yahweh. We can't get caught up in being angry with people, as Satan is the culprit, right? So we have to pray, we have to put on the armor of Yahweh, we have to ask for his cherubs to be around us, and ask for spiritual help. And you want to know something? What I'm going to go over now is really important, because these struggles that we come up with, and Satan's hindrance, it's not always in bad things. It's not always in losing a job or being put in prison or, you know, forced to take a vaccine or whatever other evil thing Satan is doing. A lot of times, because people are too worldly, like I said, a lot of times Satan's hindrance can be in with things that look like blessings. I want to go to Matthew 4 and verse 8 and 9. And this is when Satan was trying to tempt Yeshua, right? So what did he do? Did he come to Yeshua? Yeshua was fasting for 40 days. He didn't eat and drink. He was very weak, right? Did Satan beat him with a stick? Did he try to starve him to death? Did he try to make sure that you know, like he would die of thirst? No. Look how Satan tries to hinder Yeshua. Verse 8 of Matthew 4. Again, the devil takes him to a very high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he says to him, I will give all these things to you if falling down you will worship me. Wow. And you want to know something? Recently, the last, I don't know, year or two, whatever it is, I've seen a lot of articles of actually Hollywood people and famous people, even some sports players, that have come out and admitted that they're devil worshippers, that they made a pact with Satan, and they believe that's why they're so famous. And while you may be famous now, but that's not what you want to be famous for, right? Everyone in the world knows the name of Satan, but I wouldn't want to be him, because he's going to be destroyed when Yeshua returns. And a lot of times, if your life is too much in the world, you may think that that job that's giving you more money or, you know, the bigger house that you could buy or whatever seems like a blessing at that time, it all comes with a price. And some things that may look like a blessing are nothing more than Satan's hindrance. And that's where you have to ask, where is your heart? That's where you have to see, how do you know it's Yahweh's providence? It's Yahweh's direction? Because it's fulfilling the kingdom of Yahweh. It's leading you more toward doing more ministry for Yahweh's kingdom, not more for self things for yourself. And, you know, in this world we live in, it's the world of commercial Babylon. And the covetous spirit that's in the world today, face it, every one of us came from the world. So it's going to be in us too. And we got to make sure that we're not coveting things, you know. It's a life of simplicity. That's what the life as a believer is. You know, Yeshua, what happened? When he was born, he was given gifts of gold and things that would probably make him a millionaire. And yet it talks in Philippians that he gave everything up. He gave everything up for the work of Yahweh. And when he did his ministry, he lived a very simple life. And that's the way our life is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a life of simplicity. Doesn't mean that we can't have good food or share good things, but that shouldn't be our purpose. You know, and like I said, I've been blessed where I've been on mission trips and I've slept on straw on a floor, and then the trip is over and my plane is delayed and Yahweh puts me in a $500 hotel room for free in a Hilton hotel. So I've been on both sides of it. Like the Apostle Paul said, I learned to be abased and I learned to be blessed. And whatever Yahweh puts before us, but we have to make sure that we're understanding that sometimes Satan will block us by actually putting things that look like blessings. Like I said, new job, bigger house. Sometimes it can even be unconverted family members that are being used by Satan to take away our time. And I'll tell you something, through the years, like I said, I've been around a long time, I've seen a lot of situations. I've seen some of the strongest, most wonderful, fervent believers that wound up getting into trial after trial because of unconverted children. Because unconverted children got in bad things, some of them into drugs, and they bleeded them out of all their money, taking second mortgage on the house. And yes, we're set to help our family members. We're to help, you know, if we can. But that is not our first ministry. Our first ministry is the kingdom of Yahweh. And especially if it's unconverted family members that are violating Yahweh's law and are going the wrong way, and unconverted children that you know, maybe getting themselves in trouble or even prison because of the things they're doing, and there's a point you got to let them go. Because they have free will the way we have free will. And if they've chosen that way not to serve Yahweh and go the way of the world, there's nothing you can do. But you have to make sure your first vocation is the kingdom of Yahweh. No doubt about it. Matthew 6 and verse 24. No one is able to serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and he will love the other, or he will cleave to the one and despise the other. You're not able to serve Yahweh in wealth. So, you know, again, there are brethren sometimes that are wealthy. Praise Yahweh for that. And they use it for the kingdom of Yahweh, and they help people. They've helped us at times, people. But that shouldn't be our goal. That shouldn't be what we're striving for. That shouldn't be our priority. Like I said, that priority is what you get done. And if your priority is wealth, then it's not the kingdom of Yahweh. Because that's where our wealth is. That's where we want the kingdom to be. As long as we are in the will of Elohim, then any challenge that arises will only be for purification of the baptism of fire. To make sure we are in the will of Elohim, we must have our heart in line with the word of Elohim and following his providence, his direction in our life, and not being fooled by Satan with our heart and our emotions, right? That can never change. You have to follow the providence of Yahweh, the direction of Yahweh, and how do you know it? By his word. That's why we constantly have to be praying every day. We have to be studying every day, meditating on not only the word of Yahweh, but meditating on our life, the things we're doing. Are we growing? Are we not growing? Are we fulfilling our calling? And we need to be fasting. You know, we need to be fasting at times also. So Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and 6, trusting Yahweh with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So it's really simple. Like I said, is your mind just filled with, like it said in the book of Jacob, covetousness? Is it filled with greed? Is it filled with your own things, worldly desires, worldly internet, whatever it is, worldly job? Or is it filled with the kingdom of Yahweh? Your priority is where you get done. Because if your mind is filled with the kingdom of Yahweh, you're not going to fall for Satan's hindrance. It's going to happen because Yahweh allows Satan to hinder us. But in the end, that hindrance will only be used to make you stronger, right? Psalm 119 and verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Why? Because your feet go first before you. You know, everywhere you go, unless you're falling off of a mountain, your feet are always going to go before you. And when your feet go first, they're leading your direction. So your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's what's got to be leading us. That's what's got to be. And if you've ever been in a dark place, you know, sometimes you wake up in the night and you got to go somewhere or something and it's dark. You need a flashlight to light your way, to light your path. And his word is that flashlight. His word is that light to our path. And the first steps our feet should be going by. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says, for the word of Yahweh is living and powerfully working and sharper than every two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of both soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow and bones, and able to discern the thoughts and intention of the heart. So you know what? You can kid your family member. You can kid your boss at work. You can even kid yourself sometimes, but you can't kid Yahweh. Because his word, right, is cutting, it's piercing to both the spirit and soul, and joined to marrows of the bones, and is able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So Yahweh knows. You know, that's why when people like King Saul were trying to justify themselves in front of Yahweh, is he kidding? Is he really kidding? Is he really that blinded that he thinks that Yahweh's going to fall for that? No, he's not. And that's why Yahweh had to call another man, a man after his own heart, like King David, who did have a heart to change and had a heart of repentance. But it's the word of Yahweh that's got to convict us. That's what's got to be leading our life every single day. And you know what? If you're not reading it, then it's not leading your life. Whatever you focus on becomes most real. And that's why the more you're in the word, the more you're reading the word, that's going to be your focus. That's going to be your reality. You know. And if you're watching TV 12 hours a day, that's going to be your reality. If you're listening to music 12 hours a day, that's going to be your reality. Whatever it is that you're doing, that's going to be your reality. And that's why the word has got to be, you know, what our focus is on. Psalm 32 and verse 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. I will counsel you. My eye shall be on you. Wow. So Yahweh says he will be our counselor, right? And he does have elders. He does have brethren and sisters in the congregation that also can help us. And in the multitude of counsel, there's wisdom and there's safety. But that's where our counsel should come from. It should come from the word of Yahweh. We have to pray to Yahweh. We have to ask him, and he will give us counsel. But what a beautiful scripture there, right? I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. I will counsel you. My eye shall be on you. Philippians 2:13 says, It is Yahweh who is working in you both to will and to work for the sake of his good pleasure, right? So never forget that. You know, that Yahweh will work in us till the day Yeshua Messiah returns. That Yahweh will never forsake us. He'll never quit on us. You know, can a mother forsake her suckling child? And we're living in the world where we see it. We see women not only forsaking their children, sometimes even killing them, but Yahweh will never forsake us. And that's why Satan's hindrance, this is where Satan deceives us. This is where Satan wants you to believe, no, you've gone too far. You can't repent. Yahweh will never forgive you. And the unpardonable sin is simply unrepentant sin. It's just where you get to the point that you quit, you give up, you've had enough. You've gone so much in the world, you have no desire for Yahweh anymore. And then as any loving father would, out of mercy, for like somebody who's dying of cancer and is brain dead, you know, you got to pull the plug. You know, you can't let somebody live on life support, on, you know, on a machine. That's not life. And the same way that Yahweh wouldn't want his children to live on world support, that wouldn't be life. He wants us to live by his ruach, his breath, his spirit. And if not, then out of mercy, he'll just let the people go to lake of fire, and it will be like they never existed. So this is the choice we have, and we're getting late in the game. And as Shemitah is here, right, this is the time we should be thinking of these things. This should be the greatest year in our life. And who knows, like I said, this could be the last 7 years coming. Maybe there's one more 7 years. Who knows? But we are close. We're not in the first seven of the 7 year, this seven sevens, the 50-year cycle. We're not in the second or the third or the fourth. We're late in the game. And this Shemitah, you should dedicate yourself and make it the greatest spiritual time of your life. Yes. Do we have to make sure we don't plan? Do we have to make sure we're not eating food from the supermarket? Sure. But those are all secondary things. The main thing in this year should be our spiritual life and getting close to Yahweh. The same way, think about it, like the year that Yeshua came, the first year that he preached his ministry was a Shemitah year. And think of it that way. When people were redeemed, they were called back to Yahweh and they were given a new lease on life. Proverbs 16 and verse 1 says, the orderings of the heart are for man, and the answer of the tongue is from Yahweh. All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but Yahweh weighs the spirits, right? We have to be honest with ourselves. We have to humble ourselves. Roll your works on Yahweh, and your thoughts shall be established, right? Let his spirit, surrender to his spirit, right? That's what it says in Galatians 5. Surrender to his spirit and let his spirit fill you up, not your own ways, not your own pride and your own lust and your own covetousness. In verse 9, a man's heart plans his way, but Yahweh fixes his step. We got to get to that point that we're hearing His Spirit speak to us every day of our life, and we're following His Spirit. That it's His Spirit that is guiding and leading us and nothing else. That's what we need to hear. And in order to do that, there's no other way to do it but to get your face in His Word. You know, to be in that Word every day and to let that Word speak to you through His Ruach HaKodesh. If we follow judicial order, Yahweh will direct our steps. Psalm 119 and verse 132 and verse 133. Turn to me and give me your grace, as is the way to those who love your name. Fix my steps in your word and let no evil rule over me. Right? And this is Satan's death knell for people who are in the word of Yahweh every day, because it builds your faith and your conviction, and then there's nothing, not even physical death to your body, because we're dying to the flesh every day anyway, that can stop you from serving Yahweh. So that's Satan's death knell. And what? How does Satan hinder us? By figuring out all kinds of ways, by cluttering us with time, or cluttering our time with worldly things that keep us away from the word of Yahweh, that stop us from praying, stop us from studying, stop us from doing His ministry. And believe me, it is a complicated world. It is a world where there is a lot of clutter out there. But you can't let that clutter destroy you. You know, like Yeshua said in Matthew 26:39, not my will be done, but your will be done. We have to surrender to the will of Yahweh and let His Spirit change us. Let His Spirit direct us. Let His Spirit renew our mind, right? To the mind of Messiah, like it says in Scripture. We have to be renewing our mind to the mind of Messiah. Back to the book of Jacob 4. Back to Jacob, the fourth chapter. And that's why there's no way to do this without coming out of the world. Because it's Satan's world. And it's like the days of Noah. And like I said, 90% of the world out there is Satan's commercial Babylon. And if you're part of this world as a physical human being, you're going to lose. And this is why He's calling us out of the world now, you know, to be in His spiritual fortresses, to be in our kibbutzes, to be in our communities, to be with other brethren, and to be out of the world. This is the way He's going to be able to help us. So in Jacob 4, continuing in verse 7, we already read 1 through 6, verse 7 says, then submit to Yahweh, right? Surrender to Yahweh. Submit to Yahweh. Stop fighting Him in your life. Die to your pride. Realize it's you. Admit your sins and repent. Submit to Yahweh, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And you know something? Because sometimes in our life we're not following Yahweh, that's where the resistance comes, and we don't want to surrender and submit to Yahweh. But the devil, if you're living a life, a worldly life, and like I said, sometimes it can seem great. It can seem, you know, financial blessings and all these different things that are coming, and it could seem like you're being blessed, but they could just be hindrances of Satan. Because there's a price to everything, and there's also a maintenance to everything, right? There's maintenance to everything in life, even our bodies. Every day you've got to wash, you've got to brush your teeth, you've got to comb your hair, you've got to cut your hair, you have to do all the different things, you know, cut your fingernails, all these different things, and maintenance to your body. And there's maintenance in life to money, to jobs, to houses, to everything you own, there's maintenance to. And this is why there's also maintenance to your spiritual life. And what happens is too many times people are putting all the maintenance into the physical things and they're not putting the maintenance into their spiritual life. You know, you have to be able to be studying, praying, and doing the things. So submit to Yahweh, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And he knows that. That's why you got to resist him. That's why he's going to deceive you. That's why he's going to trick you. And like I said, wow, when you got a world out there that is so evil that they'll literally make something like COVID up. Make it in a laboratory, lie about it, put it on all the fake news and everything just to destroy people's lives and kill them. You can't get more evil than that. And it's the time we have to withdraw, right? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to Elohim and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners. Purify your hearts, double-minded ones. Remember what he said? Double-minded one is unstable in all their ways. Be distressed and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to shame, right? Let your laughter be turned to mourning. You know, and sometimes people want to block out the times we're living in, right? And I praise Yahweh, I'm thankful that so many brethren have thanked me for all the world news that I've been given. And a lot of third world brethren have told me, if it wasn't for my updates and the deception from their governments, they probably would have took those vaccines, you know? Which again, is the bridge to the mark of the beast. So praise Yahweh that he's opened our minds. Praise Yahweh that we have eyes to see. And it's not the time for laughter. It's the time for mourning. It's the time for repentance. It's the time for change. You know? When the kingdom of Yahweh comes, Yahweh will turn every tear into laughter. But there's a lot of suffering that's coming here. And even just now, we're just in the beginning of this famine that's coming. Not just a famine of the word, but a real famine. And there's going to be millions of people that are dying from no food. So, you know, it's not the time for just watching movies and having fun and all the other thing. Be distressed and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy into shame. Be humbled before Yahweh and he will exalt you. That's the key. We have to humble ourselves to Yahweh and repent and admit where we're wrong. And then Yahweh will be able to lift us up. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Before that, I want to go to 1 Kings 19. I want to go to 1 Kings 19. Because we've used this example before, but I want to use it again of Elijah, who allowed human circumstances to stop him from the work of Yahweh. And here it is, maybe the greatest prophet that ever was, right? Maybe the greatest prophet that ever was. And he just fought 450 of the priests of Baal. He won. The people yelling out, Yahweh is Elohim, Yahweh is Elohim. And then what happens, right? The same with us. You know, I think of Richard Wurmbrand and the movie they did with him, right? And here it was. He knew when he went to that council and he stood up against what was going on there with the communists, with taking over. He knew that it was going to put him in prison. It was just a matter of when. But he did it anyway. He stood up for the truth. He didn't have fear in his life. And in one way, he says, it was his destiny, and it was. You know, that Yahweh had his destiny, and that prison ministry is what changed him. Not that everyone has to go to prison, but he did. And that prison ministry changed the lives of millions of other people through his ministry, through all the years after that, and the things he was able to teach, and the miracles that happened. But look what happens, how Elijah let these physical things get to him where he abdicated his place with Yahweh. Chapter 19, and Ahab told Jezebel all the things Elijah did, and he killed all the prophets by the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do and more so if at this time tomorrow I will not cause your life to be as the life of one of them. And he saw Eliyahu and rose up and went for his life and came to Beersheba of Judah and left his men there. And he himself went into the wilderness a day's journey and came and sat under one broom tree. And he begged for his life that he might die. And he said, enough now, O Yahweh, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Right? He just did this great miracle. Yahweh was using him now. Now more than ever, these people needed his teaching. They needed his faith. They needed his strength. And what is he saying? Yahweh, take my life. And lay down and slept under a certain broom tree, and behold, a messenger from Yahweh touched him and said, get up, eat. And he looked, and behold, at his head was a cake on burning stones and a jar of water, and he ate and drank and turned and lay down. And the messenger of Yahweh returned a second time and touched him and said, get up, eat, for the way is too great for you. And he rose up and ate and drank and went in the power of that food 40 days and 40 nights to the mount of the Elohim, to Mount Horeb, you know, which is right next to Mount Sinai. And he came there to the cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of Yahweh came to him, Yeshua, and said to him, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? You know, I had a job for you. I had a job for you. You just went out there. You fought these priests. You did a great job. They're listening. Now what they need you more than ever. What are you doing? You're having a pity party. What are you doing here, Eliyahu? And he said, zealously, I've been zealous for Yahweh, Elohim of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They have thrown down your altars. And they have killed your prophets, and with the sword I am left, I alone, and they seek to take my life. And he said, go out and stand on the mountain before Yahweh. And behold, Yahweh passed by, and a great and strong wind tearing the mountains and breaking the rocks in bits before Yahweh. Yahweh was not in the wind. And after the wind was an earthquake, but Yahweh was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake was a fire, but Yahweh was not in the fire. And after the fire came a voice which was a small whisper. And it happened when Eliyahu heard, he wrapped his face in his robe and went out and stood at the cave opening. And behold, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? Right? What happens? Eliyahu allowed human circumstances to sway him from his work. And why didn't he understand it? Because Yahweh's in the small, still voice. And sometimes when Satan's hindrance is going on, you can't hear that small, still voice. Because you know where Satan is? Satan is in the satanic rock music. Satan is in all the clutter in the world and the clutter in your life. Satan is in all the chaos going on, right? But he's not in the small, still voice. And you have to have that time. You have to be able to have that private time in your prayer closet to pray to Yahweh, to read your Bible where the Holy Spirit can speak to you, to take a walk and meditate on what you're doing and what's going on in your life. You need that time because Yahweh's in the small, still voice. And Eliyahu, unfortunately, because of his human circumstances that were around him and his pride, thinking he was the only one doing the will of Yahweh, he lost his position. And what did Yahweh say? Okay, Eliyahu, if that's it. If you're done, then that's good. But I got one more job for you. You go and you anoint Hazael, you know, and also anoint Elisha to take your place. Because like I said, even though Yahweh predestined us from creation to be here today in this time period, to be part of this wonderful end time restoration work, to be part of this when Yeshua is going to return in a few short years and be part of his kingdom, many are called, few are chosen. And if you're not faithful, your job will be given to somebody else. Matthew 22, I'm not going to read it there now, but what did he say? The ones who weren't taking the wedding invitation, he said, go in the byways and the highways and call other people. My house will be filled. And his house will be filled. And like I said, every knee will bow to him in the kingdom. And the ones who didn't want to bow to him, the ones who didn't want to do his work, the ones who wanted to be more in the world than the will of Yahweh, they just won't be there. They simply just will not be there. So again, we have to make sure that Satan's hindrance, even a person like Eliyahu, isn't bringing fear into your life and taking away your ability to hear that small, still voice. And that's why Yahweh says he'll be our counselor. And Hebrews 13:17, that's why Yahweh, he hasn't left us abandoned. He hasn't left us as orphans. No, he has a ministry there and he has elders there. And he has brothers and sisters in the congregation. Hebrews 13:17 says, listen to your spiritual leaders and submit to them. For they watch for your souls, giving an account, that they may do this with joy and not with grieving, for this would be unprofitable to you. So we shouldn't think. I know at times people say, oh, but I know you're busy. No, I'm busy counseling you. I'm busy helping you. That's what my job is. That's what I do. That's what I do as an elder of Yahweh. So never feel that you can't come to me with a question, or your local elder, or anybody in the congregation for that matter. In the multitude of counsel is wisdom and is safety. And this is where, by getting good counsel, you're going to be able to see the difference of Yahweh's providence, Yahweh's direction to Satan's hindrance. Because you know what? If you look through the Bible, yes, there are times where Yahweh directly came to somebody, many times through Yeshua as the messenger of Yahweh, and spoke to them, like Manoah, Samson's father and his mother. But most of the time, the way that the Bible, that Yahweh spoke to people is through other people, right? How did he speak to Eli the priest? Through Samuel. How did he speak to King David? Through Samuel. How did he speak to King Saul? Through Samuel. So Yahweh will speak to different people. We see it in the New Testament the same way, that Yahweh will speak to people, and we need to make sure we're seeking wise counsel. Wisdom is in wise counsel. Proverbs 24:6 says, for you shall make war for yourself by wise counsel, and deliverance is in the great counselor. So there's no greater counselor than Yahweh and his word, and it's through that word that any question in life, any trial in life, any challenge in life is always in the word of Yahweh that's there. Last scripture I want to go over is Revelation 3:7-8. Revelation 3:7-8, it says, to the messenger of the congregation in Philadelphia, write, These things says the Holy One, the true one, the one having the key of David, right? We talked about this many times, about the key of David and the tabernacle of David in the city of David in Jerusalem. The one opening and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Yahweh knows your works, right? And what are they? Your priorities are what you get done. Do you have a plan of action, right? Do you have a ministry? Are you bearing fruit for the kingdom? I know your works. Behold, I have given an open door being opened before you, and no one is able to shut it. For you have little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Wow. Yahweh has given an open door for his end time work. If we want that open door in our lives, then we need to be in his will in all things. It's that simple. We should have a plan of action. We should have a ministry. We should have ministry goals. We should be bearing fruit. And we all working toward the same goal. We are all part of the restoration ministry that Yahweh has in these end times. And praise him for that. And like I said, if we don't take it serious, and this Shemitah is a great time to dedicate this year fully to Yahweh in all things, you know, to bear more fruit, then he will replace us. And it's going to be sad. We saw it happen in the last Shemitah, but I think even in a bigger way, this Shemitah is going to be a dividing line between Yahweh's people in the world. If our heart is aligned with the word of Yahweh and his providence, his direction in our life, then we will have an open door to produce so much fruit for his kingdom. We must meditate on this daily in all decisions and seek his direction in all things and make sure that the enemy is not putting stumbling blocks before us and we are being deceived that it could be the hand of Yahweh. The key to submitting to Yahweh in all things is resisting the devil, submitting to Yahweh, and praying and seeking wise counsel and meditating in all matters in our life. So I pray that this message will be beneficial to you. And I pray that each of us hearing this can seek Yahweh's direction and providence in our life. Yahweh bless. Shabbat Shalom.